and welcome into the Who's On podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network. We are diving into some football today, and I got a great guest coming on today. He's a starting defensive tackle, but as of late, you probably best know him as one of Virginia's lead recruiters in the transfer portal. I have got Jason Hammond, defensive tackle from UVA, joining me. Jason, thank you so much for joining the Who's On podcast.
No, thank you. Thank you. I'm really appreciative to be here.
Awesome, man. Well, first off, I just want to start off winter workouts. You're like going through that right now, but obviously you're coming off shoulder surgery back in the fall. Where are you right now, health wise?
So I actually did have another recent surgery right before we went on break. So it was a smaller surgery, but it was another shoulder surgery. So I'm currently recovering from that. But as far as the one that ended my season, I'm doing really well. My rehab is going great. I met with Dr. Brockmeyer, I want to say 2 days ago, and he said my shoulders look great. So I'm on track for a great recovery, and I'm really excited about the season. So
what do you think as far as spring football? Where do you think you're at for that?
Oof. So I guess as of right now, I might be just in shoulder pads doing drills in a green jersey. I'm trying to see if they'll hopefully let me do some pass rush stuff just so I can get back in the gist of things. I've been out of it so long. So, but I, at the end of the day, I do understand that, you know, spring ball is a time for development. And then, you know, I would hate to run the risk of me getting hurt. So I completely understand where they're coming from with that, but that might just be the case.
No, absolutely. You want to be your best when you get to the fall. It absolutely feels like you're itching to get back out there, though. What
oh,
is it?
You have no idea. Oh my God. You have no idea. For me, football, I kind of live, breathe football. Like, so any chance I get to play, I'm so grateful. And, you know, just being hurt, it gives you a greater appreciation for it. So, you know, I am itching to get back out there.
What has it been like so far? I know you got a lot of new guys in there for winter workouts right now, just getting to know some of those guys. I know you know some of them already, but just kind of seeing kind of that chemistry start to form here in winter workouts.
You know what? I can't attest to everybody on the team, but I can say the energy that surrounds this facility has changed greatly since we've gotten these transfers. And I'm not saying it's because of them, but I think it's something that we understand, and I think we're all, I like to say, bonding. I think we all just understand what we're here to do. And I think with them recruiting a lot of younger guys, I think we all got the same mission. And, you know, you can just tell guys want to be there. Guys want to play ball. You know, guys love the sport. And, you know, I'm really glad that the majority of guys are around the same age, because that means we relate to each other a lot more than, you know, past guys. And not that it was an issue, but, you know, when you got guys around your age, it's a lot easier to bond with them. So, you know, you on the game with these guys all the time. You know, we talking, hanging out outside the facility. So I just feel like now with having this, and then we got great caliber guys, you know, I'm excited to see what this D-line is going to do, especially. So,
yeah, we're going to talk about that defensive line in just a second, man, because you've got some bodies in there. But yeah, just finished an article for thesabre.com kind of going behind the scenes of this transfer portal window. But really the thing that stood out to me in talking to guys like Justin Sparrows and Tyler Jones and Lo Davis was just the complete buy-in from the top down. And you talk about the energy inside, you know, the Hardy Football Operations Center. Just what does that buy-in look like from the top down there right now?
Man, I think it's a complete buy-in from the staff to the players. You know, I think a big deal of it was retaining a lot of the guys that played last year. And then, you know, we made sure that as we bring in these new guys, they understand the culture we're trying to build. And I think, you know, just doing that, I think we're building a great culture here. And, you know, I'm really excited. I'm glad to be a part of building the foundation, and I'm really excited to be a part of helping it take off. So
I mentioned at the top, kind of jokingly, but, you know, Tony Elliott said, you know, your best recruiters are in your locker room sometimes. And that's kind of what you turned yourself into this year in the transfer portal via social media. I reached out to guys. What made you want to take that on?
Well, first and foremost, I came here to win. I decommitted from Iowa State because of so, and because I believed in Coach Elliott's dream and his mission. But I don't think, you know, a lot of people see athletes getting on social media and they're playing, or, you know, it's, they don't need to be on social media. But I think it was an untapped market. I think, you know, getting on social media, it shows guys how appreciative. I can remember when I first got offered and seeing the fans in my comments wanting me to come there and how it felt to me. So I could only imagine when it's other players on the team trying to recruit guys to come in with them. So, I'm glad that we had a total buy-in. I wasn't the only one doing recruiting. James Jackson, Sadarian Harrison, even K Rob sometimes, it was a total buy-in to get these guys in here. So
Yeah, what is that like just as a team? Like, are you being like, yeah, I'm talking to this guy right now, I'm talking to this guy. Like, are you talking about this behind the scenes with the other players on the team?
you know what, not really. I would kind of just, even it was so funny because sometimes even the guys that I would end up recruiting, I had no idea the coaches were recruiting them. Like Hunter Osborne, I didn't know they were going after him. I just happened to be in the facility and I was going to watch some film. And as I was walking in there, Coach Diamond was giving his meeting. I was like, shoot, this is the perfect opportunity to, let me just put my two cents in. So I kind of just told him what he was going to get from coming in here, the coach he was dealing with. And this is not even them asking me of it, but that's just because of, I put my trust in them, and I know what they're building, and I know how great of a coaching staff we have, and I wouldn't lead anybody wrong. So I gave everybody my honest opinion, and I tell the truth all the time. So, and it might be a character flaw at times, but for the sake of this, for the sake of University of Virginia, I couldn't imagine playing anywhere else in the country. So.
I know you know some of these guys in this class, Maddox Marcellus, of course. Who are some other guys you knew, and just kind of, what is it like kind of getting them here on grounds now and kind of seeing them, with the V-Saber on and walking around doing winter workouts?
So Maddox, I actually played with Maddox in Little League. So that's how far we go back. But as far as the other guys, I kind of just got in communication with them after asking the coaches, like, who are y'all looking at? And, after they gave me some contacts, and I was like, shoot, I'll go call them and see what's up. So one of those guys was Kazim. Me and Kazim are building a great relationship now. Kazim and Jacob Holmes. So I kind of try to start with the D line, the guys that I'll be around the most. But I'm really proud of the progress that we're making as a unit. I'm really excited. So, and I think it's, that's how it should be around here. I think a lot of guys are excited about this upcoming season. The energy, you can definitely tell in the energy.
You've known Maddox for so long. Like, when was Little League? What age were you guys?
Oh boy, this was actually my first year playing football, was 12U in Pembroke Pines. We played for West Pembroke Pines Optimus. And he was actually our quarterback, our team's quarterback. And I was playing offensive line. So that's.
I mean, linebacker, quarterback of the defense, offensive defensive line. So, it works out pretty well there. What kind of player was Maddox? Is Maddox Marcellus?
Man, I feel like Maddox is a hard-nosed player. I mean, as soon as I seen him post his film on Twitter, I texted Coach Down and to get him in contact with Coach Adams. I was like, if it's anything I know that this guy can help us win games here at University of Virginia. So, he's a great player, athletic as all outdoors, if you would say. But I enjoy having guys like that, playing with guys like that, because it helps cover so much. Not even just him, but Kazim. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. We got Mekhi Buchanan coming back.
Yeah, Fisher K-Mac coming in,
Even
Mitchell Melton.
Mitchell, we got a lot of athletic guys that know how to win, came from winning cultures. So I'm just excited to see how this all plays out.
Looking at back to social media real quick. I know the Tony Elliott AI pictures were popular this year in the transfer portal. Any word from Tony on if he's seen those, what he thought? I know he's sometimes on social media, not really a lot though.
No, that's a great question. I actually haven't asked him about it. I've been trying not to. I know he's not too fond of AI, so it was a really funny thing, and I felt like I was doing it more so to help connect with the fans because I thought it was really funny. And I think as far as them seeing it, I think it helped them to buy in more to the program. It just. That's all it really was to me. It was something that was funny, and I saw other people, OG who other people reposting it, and it was hilarious to me. I was like, you know what? Let me hop in on the trend. And I think the main point of me doing it was just to get more fans involved. You can see the fan engagement from it. They were making their own photos and posting them, and I love doing that because it brings the energy out of everybody, right? We get fans involved. and they're doing their own recruiting, you know, and I just feel like everybody buys in and it helps so much more. So
I know some of those other fans, like you mentioned, OG, who I know some of those guys, they made those themselves. Did you ever make one yourself?
I did not. I had OG make it for me.
He knows what he's doing, so you can just go with that. I will say, my one critique is like at the beginning, they looked very much like Tony, but kind of as they went on, they started looking a lot less like Tony, some of the more recent ones.
One of them was looking like Marcus Freeman at one point. I was like, I don't know if you want to post this. This is the wrong coach. But you know, it's so funny how far AI has come. And being able to use pictures like that to even go and recruit. So, but I think it was an enjoyable part of the transfer portal for sure, at least on my end. It brought some excitement out of it. So,
I know, and I had a friend of mine create one for the anonymous donor. I'll have to send you that one sometime because that
I
one's
didn't see that
hilarious
one.
too. Yeah, that one just got started going around a couple of weeks ago, so I'll have to send you that one. But AI, for all its flaws and some of the controversy with it, gave us some enjoyable moments in the transfer portal. We talked about this defensive line. Let's get into it now. Bringing in, here's the list of guys y'all are bringing in. Kazim Moore from Elon, my alma mater, so big fan of that. Fisher K-Mac from UNLV. Mitchell Melton, fresh off a national championship at Ohio State. Jacob Holmes from Fresno State, and then Hunter Osborne out of Alabama. That's adding to the group that you got coming back. Jameer Carter, obviously going into his, what, 10th, 12th year of college football at this point. Anthony Britton, guy that came in with you. Mekhi Buchanan, another guy. T.T. Jones, and a whole bunch of other young guys. I know Tony Elliott mentioned Juwan Hayes, Chase Morrison, some of the other names down there. But that defensive line group right there, like, and I talked about it last year with Anthony Britton a little bit, talking about the guys coming up in the program, like yourself, Britton, Mekhi Buchanan, T.T. Jones, kind of taking that mantle after you lose Cam Butler and Chico Bennett and some of those veteran guys. When you look at that roster right there, just in defensive line room, what does that make you feel?
You know, it's hard for me to put into words how happy I am that they went and got the guys that they got, because I think a lot of people kind of downplay our D line play in the past couple of days, in the past couple of years. But a lot of people don't know the reason for how me and Anthony stepped up was because of guys like Chico, Jameer, and Cam Butler. Like, those guys instilled in us, you know, great practice habits. And I probably wouldn't be the player I am today if it had not been for Cam Butler. Like, he's seen me at my worst and at my best and has contributed to it all. So, you know, I'm excited that we have him coming back along with this group of guys, because we're going to instill the same thing. You know, it's never been about, you know, who's starting, especially not this year. You know, this year is whoever earns it. And, you know, that's the culture I came from. That's always what it was. The best guys play. And, you know, I'm excited to bring that back here. You know, we're not having a thing of or guys just wanting to play out, guys just wanting to play or getting to play because they're the coach's favorite, instead of it's a thing that has to be earned. It's a right that has to be earned. And you know, even starters, nobody's job is safe. And I like that, because it means guys got to come compete. And that's something I take pride in and I enjoy doing, because it makes everybody around you better, not just the D line, but the offensive line. And I can see us dominating this year, truly. I'm extremely elated about the guys that we got coming in.
Yeah, Coach Elliott talked about that a little bit. Just, you know, for a guy like yourself to actively recruit players to come in and compete against yourself, just kind of what it says. You mentioned Cam Butler there. He is coming back as a defensive analyst. What is it like kind of seeing him transition into that? And just kind of how excited are you just to have him around the program still?
Oh boy, I extremely excited. You know, when Cam was leaving, I was trying to help him find extra years.
He had
Like,
seven already.
but you know, Cam is such it's hard to put into words the value that Cam Butler has in his program. Cam has been one of the most influential leaders on this team, especially on our defense, since he stepped on campus, since I've stepped on campus, and since I've gotten to know him. So I mean, just him being able to come back and contribute in any way he can, that speaks volumes to me. And I think it speaks volumes to the culture that we have here, that guys that graduate want to come back and coach for us. You know, I think if there's a better example, it would be that.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at, you mentioned not as much about starters this year because you have so many guys, and the goal all along is to rotate those guys in, keep guys fresh. I
Right.
think Tony specifically mentioned, a guy like Jameer playing so many, snaps out there. Maybe you get him a little bit fresher as the game goes on. How much of a difference does that make?
I think it makes a substantial difference, having guys that are ready to go at all times. I mean, you look at offensive linemen, those guys hardly come out the game. But when you can keep a D-line fresh for all four quarters, just going, 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 it creates massive problems for offenses. Like you look at any of the best teams in the country, all of their D-lines are rotating and they're all fresh all 4 quarters of the game. And I think with them being able to go in and getting depth that can play at high levels, I think you'll be able to tell the difference instantly in our D-line play.
I know you weren't there late in the season, but Coach Rudzinski started to use some different formations up front, kind of using that NASCAR package that we like to call it, moving
Package.
some guys,
Right.
inside. What do y'all call it?
A speed package.
Speed package. Yeah. What do you like with the guys, the personnel that you have now? How fun is that just to kind of be able to mix and match like that?
Oh, I think it's going to be really fun. I think this allows Coach Rudd to get a little more exotic with the things he wants to run. Now because we got guys that can win one-on-ones and we could create different matchups. So I'm excited to see what Coach Rudd does with this. I was playing a little DN at some points last year. But I really am excited to see him open up the playbook. So I'm looking forward to it.
Looking at just this defensive line in this room, what are some things I guess from the pass rush sense, a guy like Kazim Moore that you talked about, Fisher K-Mac coming in, Mitchell Melton, guys that are on the edge, along with some of the guys already in the program like Mekhi Buchanan, just kind of how much pressure do you think he can get on this defense?
When you say pressure, do you mean as far as like getting back to the quarterback, or do you think us having pressure?
I guess you could take it either way, honestly.
You know what? I would say I don't think there is pressure on us because of the group that we have coming in. Everybody, comes from these places where they won at Elon, they won at Elon, won at Bama, won at Ohio State, but you wouldn't be able to tell with anybody that's here. Everybody's completely bought in. And I think it's going to pay its dividends when the season starts. Us having a chemistry of, knowing that we're going to play for our brother next to us and go and win our one-on-ones and we're going to dominate for 4 quarters straight. I think you'll be able to tell, and I'm excited. I don't think there will be any pressure on us. I think if anything, it'll allow us to play freer. It'll allow us to create more energy, knowing that you're playing for your brothers. So I'm really excited. Like I cannot express that enough.
I'll read off real quick. 11 sacks 2 years ago, 19 last year, near the bottom of the conference last year again. Is that a number that y'all talk about, or how does that kind of manifest itself?
Absolutely. So for us, we're obviously not where we want to be in the sacks wise on the stat sheet. And I think that's the point of emphasis going into this season, like knowing that we got to get better in the pass rush. Even Coach Downing, Coach Slade, Cam, all the coaches know that, we're going to be putting a massive emphasis on our pass rush skills this spring, this fall, and even going into the season. But I think, I'm really excited. I am really excited about the guys and the guys we have and their ability to go get the quarterback. And I think those numbers will shoot up this year.
I know talking to Tony Elliott after that game in Virginia Tech last year, he said one of the biggest gaps and differences was kind of in the trenches, and y'all have done a lot to address that. Four new
Right.
guys on the offensive line, bunch of new guys on the defensive line as well. I've also seen, you and some Virginia Tech fans get into it on social media. Share about just kind of your feelings towards Virginia Tech and kind of how those two games that you've seen have gone for you guys.
I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm the most likable person to a Virginia Tech fan. And I would hope that, because I don't like them either. But a lot of times I get on social media and they don't understand, me joking back. And that's when I brought up the point of a lot of people see athletes get on social media and think that we take everything to heart. We don't. A lot of us are the most are the class clowns, the jokesters, and that's basically me being me. I like to have fun back. But to bring your point of playing Virginia Tech, I played Virginia Tech my freshman year. I played in that game my freshman year when we got beat. And if it was a game that mattered more to me, it would be the Virginia Tech game last year. And it hurt me so bad knowing that I couldn't play in the game, but I did travel. And you know, just knowing and seeing that game, it's still circled on my calendar. It's still a personal game for me. And I think it's gonna be a personal game for everybody. But I'm excited. I'm really excited, and I'm scared for them. I'm scared for them because it is very personal to me to play Virginia Tech next year and to do well. So if it's any game that, I would say that it's important for me to play greatly in, it would be that game. So
How does a guy from Florida become so passionate about a Virginia in-state rivalry?
you know what's funny? I actually have my family's actually from New is from Virginia.
Oh, okay.
I am deeply rooted in the university's history. Stan Land is my cousin. He was the first black African American player, football player at the University of Virginia. I have a cousin that teaches at the engineering school. So a lot of people don't know, but this was all a part of my decision in coming here. It was really the home away from home for me. So, you know, that combined with, you know, learning the program, having the conversations with past players and their passion and their understanding that they hate Tech, you know, I could feel it myself. And then coming into my own interactions with Tech fans, as you've seen. So I've kind of developed my own hatred myself.
You mentioned that connection to the history of this program. How meaningful is it for you whenever you put on this uniform and go out there thinking about, a cousin who was one of the first, black players to play for Virginia?
For me, it means a lot. It means the world, actually, that I'm able to be out there and represent him. Somebody that was a trailblazer for me, not only as an athlete but as a black man, a young black man. So, you know, just putting on the jersey, it means a lot. You know, it gives me something else to play for, and you know, it means the world to me that I have Stan and my cousin and the rest of my family in Virginia that could come and watch me. You know, I really can't say I would have that experience anywhere else. And you know, just knowing that and being understanding of that has led me, I would say, to understand the value of the jersey more.
Let's get into you just personally real quick. You started the first four games of this past season before you had the injury at Coastal Carolina, and that really weird teal turf down there, man. Something about it just didn't feel right just walking around on the game pregame. But for started the first four games this year, 11 tackles before you went out. What did you think? Where do you think you kind of were before the injury, just as far as kind of developing as a player?
You know what sucked? The thing that sucked about my injury was I truly feel like I was on the cusp of understanding my play and who I was as a player. And I think it was starting to show. Even in the Maryland game, I think later on it would start, like, you could tell in my play that I was becoming more confident. The same with Coastal Carolina. The only reason I had went back in was because I missed a sack. If had it not been for me missing a sack, I wouldn't even have went back in the Coastal Carolina game. But that was still one of my best games. I'm just excited to build on my progress, as well as helping guys build on their progress, and you know, helping everybody elevate their games. You know, that's really all it is for me.
I know you're going to be a little limited in spring ball, but one thing that you want to try to work on this spring?
So if it was anything I wanted to emphasize, this spring game was probably my pad level. If you watch my game, you notice I'm not the best when it comes to staying up. But you know, my pad level as well as my strength. I met with Coach Downing, and he told me those were, I guess, my biggest areas of improvement, and I agree. So you know, even though I can't do much right now, I think it's still important that I go into spring ball knowing what I need to work on, because there is still stuff to work on even when you're hurt. So even when I can, whether it's coaching or working on my own fundamental skills, you know, there's a way to get better this spring ball.
You mentioned Coach Downing a couple times. I'd be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity just to kind of talk about him. He's such a personality, a great guy to talk to around the program. What has he meant to you in your development?
Oh man. I tell him all the time, he's like an uncle to me, or a father away from my father. Me and Coach Down are really close. But I can't really explain our relationship to other people without explaining who he is as a man. First of all, Coach Downey is one of the biggest, greatest example of a man of God that I could give to anybody. And that's just a testament to who he is. And not only that, but how he coaches. You know, he's gonna coach you hard, but at the end of the day, he's gonna let you know that he loves you. And I think that's how it should be as a coach. You know, especially at the college level, you get a lot of young guys, a lot of guys that are still trying to figure out their lives. And to have a coach like that, especially my first year, where I'm from Florida, I'm coming up here 18 hours away. Don't really know much about it other than my cousin, who I went to dinners with. But Coach Downing was very opening, welcoming. Even when I had griefs and concerns, he was still opening to hear him and helping me fix them. So I really can't express and put into words how much he's done for me and my trust in him. You know, I really can't imagine myself playing for a different coach.
Looking at, we've talked about just the new buy-in, kind of the energy in the building, but what's one thing people don't understand about Virginia football?
Okay, I would say one thing that I don't think people understand about Virginia football. I like to get more people to understand the guys that we have in the program. Especially the new guys that we have in the program. I wish we could get more fans in here to see what it's like to be in a practice at the UVA, you know, or even just be able to understand how much our passion goes into the sport. I think a lot of the times it gets misconstrued when you go and see the scoreboard. It may look like we're not trying or busting our butts on the field. But if it's one thing I can say, I would say the energy around here has been a lot different. And I think people will be able to tell this season. And if there's any way I could get fans to encourage showing up or meeting guys on the team and getting to know them, I'll do that because I feel like it's important. But I think if it's one thing I want fans to know, their energy is just as important as our energy. They play hand to hand. Nobody wants no recruit wants to play in an empty stadium. And I think the guys here don't want to play in an empty stadium because at the end of the day, winning takes everybody from players, coaches to the fans. You know, and everybody being there buys in. You all have no idea the energy you put behind a team that has fans in its seats. And I don't think people understand that. But I think once we could get back to a place where we pack Scott Stadium, I think people will love this team and truly see how special it is this season.
We've talked about so much the energy kind of being different. Is there a moment that you can kind of point to in the building just as you're around there almost every day? Just kind of, is there a moment that you can point to that this is a little bit different?
What I say was our first, not our first conditioning workout, but our first hard conditioning workout. We had a lot of guys where it was like where they stepped up and you were able to see some more leaders, guys that care. You know, we talking about we're not going for things like this anymore. You know, it's a complete total buy-in on the guys on the team here. And I think that's a really important thing going into this next season. Guys for not forgetting where our past, but rather just using it to remember and build off of and to explain that we're not going back to the old Virginia that we were because this is going to be a new team. And if it was anything that showed that, I think every day in practice that we show up, we show that.
Chandler Morris, your new quarterback from North Texas, he said he got up at a team meeting and said, he didn't come from Texas to go five or win five or six games. He came to win a championship. Do you remember that moment? Is that
Oh,
did that actually
absolutely.
happen?
No, it happened. It happened. It definitely happened. I didn't want to bring it up, but that actually was one the most defining moment, I will say. To hear a quarterback get up there and confidently exclaim that he's going to be the one to take not he's going to be the one to take us, but that he's going to help us lead this team to a championship and to claim that in the air. You know, it definitely was a different feeling, especially in the room. Everybody could feel it. Like this is not. I truly feel like that was the turning moment where we went from just barely trying to make a bowl game to where, okay, now we're going for national championships. And that's how it should be. That's what Coach Elliott came here to do. And I feel like that's what the mindset is now. You know, we're not playing for bowl games. We're playing for a national championship.
What was the vibe in that? Were y'all going around introducing yourselves, or were you like just talking in a team meeting, sharing
So
goals?
Yeah, so it was a team meeting, and then Coach E asked for the transfer guys and freshmen to stand up and introduce themselves. So he stood up and he said that. You look around, and at first it's really shocking. You're not expecting to hear a transfer quarterback say that. But the more you get to learn him and who he is as a player and the way he's leading in workouts, he's about business, and I can't wait to see how he plays. So
Well, Jason, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Actually, real quick, I saw when I was going through your Twitter, you and your family do a charity down in Miami called Sleepless in Miami. Talk a little bit about that because it sounds really incredible, kind of some of the stuff y'all done. Y'all done this for 12 years now.
Yeah, so actually I might have gotten it wrong. We've actually been doing it for 12 years, but organized, we've been doing it for 7. But Sleepless in Miami is an event that we do down south. They actually just changed it. Not change not they just changed it, but because of the rules now in Florida where they're moving all the homeless people to the beaches to get them out of the site. It's became a lot harder for us to do what we do, but it's something that I take great pride in, giving back to my community. And to me, it's really personal. Just being a child of God and understanding that I'm in a truly blessed position. It gives me something to be grateful for. And then doing that with my family at the same time, it's a bonding. We end up with a prayer. I feel like it just allows us, it gives us a moment of gratitude to understand where we are in our lives and to give back to the less fortunate. So it's something that we do every year. I guess I'll leave it at that. I mean, we get back to the homeless and we give them food, utility, I'm sorry, food, cleaning supplies, and any other personal health care that they think items that they might need. And it's a really overall great experience. I think it's a humbling experience, and it's one that I'm grateful to be part of.
Yeah, it sounded really cool just reading about it on your social media. But Jason, thank you so much for coming on the Who's On podcast, sharing everything
Thank
about
you.
UVA football. And I know you're excited because I think you said it like 50 different times here on the podcast. But thank you, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, that is it for the Who's On podcast. You can catch everything over at thesaber.com. We got a lot on football coming up. We also have a lot of coverage on baseball season as that is getting ready to go as well. Follow, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you find your podcast, and we'll see you later.